We have a great speaker here this morning. Jeff Phillips is here with us today from Chile. And we've been privileged to work down there for the last half a decade or so or more. And it's just a great honor to have the dad here today. Jeff Phillips and his wife went down to Chile 46 years ago. They made a commitment that they would give God 3 years of their life and to go down there. And they've only stayed 46 years down there. Raised their children down there. Their children are all serving the Lord. We're partnering heavily with all of them because they're doing great things around the world for the Lord Jesus. And so let's welcome Jeff Phillips here this morning.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here. Just so you know, Gabriel was here just a few weeks ago. He's my son, and so we're so thankful. And so after 46 years, we're thinking we might stay. And so I want to talk about what it means to be missional people. Although when I heard all of the testimonies today of what this church is doing, I thought, maybe I need to switch the message, but I still want to talk about the importance of being missional people and what that means. And so there's a few tests to do. How many of you have passports? Raise your hands. All right, you guys are ready. What? So the next thing, what people think they need is like just a ton of money. And back in the 70s, there were no computers, there was no emails, there were no cell phones, and so we would write notes to churches trying to raise support to go to Chile. And we got one, we were in San Jose Bible College, just graduates, and we wrote a church in Ashland, Oregon, which is a considerable drive up there. And they said, yeah, we'll take an offering for you. Please come up. And so on Saturday morning, we drive all the way up there, and because I wanted to be there early for Sunday morning. And I drove up in shorts and a tank top, and we stayed in this sleazy motel because we didn't have a lot of money. And as we got out, another guy who was in the room next to us said, so did you just come from the beach? And I said, no, we drove up from San Jose. We're going to be missionaries in Chile. And he goes, ew. And he turns away and walks off. And I go, well, I hope the church is friendlier than this guy. And so we get there the next day, and I knock on the door, and the pastor comes out, and I said, hi, I'm Jeff Phillips. I'm here to speak today. And he goes, didn't you get my letter? I said, yeah, the letter of invitation. He said, no, the one saying not to come. And I went, I drove all the way from San Jose, California. He goes, I'm sorry. And he closed the door. And so I walked back out to the car. I said, Kathy, we're uninvited. They were going to take an offering. We have enough money to pay for the motel, and we don't have gas money. I didn't have credit cards. I didn't have checks at that time. I didn't have a credit card until I was 40 years old because I couldn't rent a car without a credit card. And so I applied for a credit card, but I go, we don't have gas money to get back. And so we're putting things in the trunk, and I'm going, I don't know what we're going to do. And the guy who had given me such a lovely greeting the day before comes out to me, says, so you heading off? And I go, yeah, we are. And he comes up and he goes, good luck. And as he walks away, I look down and it's enough money to get back to San Jose. And I went, I get this. We have a faithful father. And so it's not about tons of money. Now, I have told my Heavenly Father, I get this about last minute you coming through, but I think I've learned the lesson. We don't have to do that every time, okay? But he has tended to think that it's probably good for us so that we know that all things come from our Father and that we need to trust in him. So a lot of people, when they talk about being missional people, you need to get out of your comfort zone, right? Take those steps. I have come to a different conclusion. We need to expand our comfort zone. We need to feel at home in those other countries, because if you're just stepping out of your comfort zone, you've seen those expressions, right? Like, Like they're not happy being outside of their comfort zone. But when you've expanded your comfort zone, when you fall in love with the people of the countries where you're serving, I've been in 40 different countries now. I feel so at home in those places, and it expresses the love of our Father as well. And so I just, you know, challenge you to think about expanding your comfort zone. I grew up in Portland, Oregon. I came out of a horrible background. Last time I was here was a number of years ago. I shared my testimony, but I was just rescued from alcoholic parents, and God intervened and saved me. Then my parents came into the kingdom. I later baptized my older brothers. And so I said, if God can transform a family like mine, I'll serve him forever. And we had a youth minister that did a few things that were kind of, kind of the safety issues that you were talking about earlier when you were in Kentucky. But my definition of a good youth pastor is he's always in trouble with the elders, okay? Because things are going on. So he decided to take us down to Skid Row in Portland, Oregon, and pray in front of a porn shop, because back in the 70s, there was no internet. You had to go buy your junk. And so I don't know what I told my parents. I think I was going on a picnic or something. And so we get down there, and I'd only been a believer about a year. And so it was right on a corner, and it was lined up down the both sides. And it was so amazing because, yeah, you'd see these guys walking up, you know, to go in the front door, and they'd look up and see us all praying, and they just turned around. So no one walked into that porn shop the entire day. But as I was there, a Native American gentleman, big guy, was walking down the street, and I said to him, God loves you. And he goes, oh, yeah? How do you know? I said, the Bible says. And he goes, where? And I went, oh, let me get someone. And he grabs him and he goes, you show me. And I went, well, I do know a good one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him will not perish and have everlasting life. And he goes, not bad. And he walks away, and to this day, I don't know what I said to him. I know it was nice, but he turned around, and he came at me, and I went, this guy's going to kill me. And so I start backing up, and I get to the wall, and I'm looking at my friends, and they're like in the twilight zone. No one else sees what's going on, and I'm going, this is not good. And he hits me with his chest and knocks me against the wall, and so I kind of just stand there. What do I do? What am I going to do? And he comes at me again, and I'm going, this is not fair. I've only been a believer a year. Why, how come these people that grew up in the church aren't getting killed? Why me? I'm just getting started. And so I went, okay, get ready, Lord. Here I come. And so he comes up to me, and he goes, and he walks away. And so we went back to the church, and some of the kids did not get permission from their parents to go to this place. And so they had set up a prayer calendar, and they prayed for 15 minutes for each of us. And they said, everybody said, Jeff, tell your story. Because then, you know, everybody saw what had happened. And they go, do you know what time that was? And I go, like, I'm going to forget when I almost died. It was at 4:00. And they got real quiet, and they handed me the prayer readout. At 4:00, my name was on that list, and they had begun to pray for me. And so I understood, once again, being missional people. It's not about security. It's not about having everything in line. God will provide the funds. God will give divine protection in many ways. You become a world Christian by becoming a Christian in your own world first. Sometimes we have this fantasy like, I will be transformed into an incredible cross-cultural worker once I step on the new country. No, we need to live it today in our society, in what we are experiencing today. And so I just challenge you in that way as well. The greatest command in all of the Bible, do not fear. It is said more times than any other command in the Bible because we face these things continually. We have these challenges, especially if we're going to be cross-cultural workers in countries that we would never have imagined before. And look what it says in Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I've seen that power of our Father as I've traveled throughout the world. I'll talk about, I just came out of Iraq just this week, just this last week. I'll share what about going on there as well. But this incredible promise of God being with us. Because 1 John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. We have a Father that loves us. We can walk in confidence. We can see His goodness as we walk in His light and as we walk in His love as well. N.T. Wright said, let's make no mistake about it. Until you learn to live without fear, you won't find it easy to follow Jesus. If we are bound by fear, if fear mandates what the decisions we are going to take or where we are going to go or what we are going to do, we will not go far. And so we need to walk in that perfect love of our Heavenly Father. I truly believe the safest place in the world is in God's will. That doesn't mean that things won't go wrong, but it still means it's the safest place for us to walk in confidence. I'd rather be in Iraq in His will than here in Auburn outside of His will. So it's about living in His will and what He has called us to do. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin than about courageously and actively doing God's will. This was a man that was incredible and stood up to incredible things. He died in prison, but it's not just about doing everything right. It's not just about avoiding sin. We need to be courageous people in this culture that we're living in today. When I come back to the States, I just am shocked with what you need to deal with today. But you need to be courageous in your faith and not walk in fear as well. I have felt the Father Yahweh's pleasure in the moments of crisis of faith in other parts of the world more than any other time in my life. Sometimes He brings us to those moments where I have literally been on my knees and said, Father, is this just my crazy ideas? Because I've been in crazy places and crazy situations and just this crisis of faith, asking Him, this wasn't my idea, was it? And then just to feel His pleasure. Just to feel Him just re-encouraging and reaffirm what His love is for us. Philip intended what it was to get out of his comfort zone. It says, I'm going to turn around here. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For there were shrieks, imp- impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Look at that last phrase, though. There was great joy in that city. And I think that's what the church is about, where we are present anywhere in the world. I would hope and I would pray that in this community, there is great joy because of this church, because of what you're doing, because of the impact that you are making. That's what it is. It's about. It's about living our the gospel. It's about being people of presence in our community. All the activities that you have that are outside of this building are what brings joy to a city. Acts 9 says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, it means Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, and when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went to them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room, and the widow stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothes that Dorcas had made while she was with them. This is another point about, do people just cry for joy about what this church is doing, about how active we are, how we are reaching out? If this church ceased to exist, it is my hope that the community would cry. The community would mourn. Remember what the church did for us. Remember what the pastors did. Remember what the members did for us. This is the impact that we should have upon our church and make such a difference. I have considered taking up an Uber ministry. I have had some incredible opportunities to just share. Now, I've lived in Chile 46 years, and so my Spanish is pretty good. And many times I just get mistaken. I know all the street language. And so when I get into an Uber, I talk like a Chileno. I talk like a Chilean. And then in the end, they start saying, so what do you do? And then I share that I'm a pastor in Chile, and I start sharing my faith. And it's just been an incredible opportunity. The last two trips to the airport, in the parking lot, I laid hands on these people and prayed for them because they had just heard a message of hope. So everywhere that we go, we have this opportunity to be light, to be able to minister and use every situation to proclaim Jesus. Because this is what Jesus said about himself. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. So that should be our theme call as well, to seek and save those that are lost, wherever that be, all around the world as well. And so we have these famous, remember, you leave the 99 and you go after the one that is lost. This precious woman lost one coin, tore the house down in search of it. When she found it, she called all of her neighbors in to celebrate, because there's nothing like finding something that was lost and being able to rejoice. And the perfect example of the prodigal son, remember, says the father was looking out the window, and when he saw him coming, he ran out and kissed his son, who had just been a disaster, wasted his inheritance. But the love of the Father is the same love that we should be able to show to a lost world. So I have a lot of mileage because I travel a lot. And so I was in a VIP room recently, and I watched this mother and her older this woman and her older mother, and her older mother was just being impossible. She couldn't, that poor daughter could not say anything right, just griped. And so I have trouble staying still when I see stuff like that. So I go to get up, and I went, no, this is not my problem. This is not my business. And it just got worse. And I went, okay, no, I better not. You know, I don't know how this person's going to respond. And so finally, I walked around and I got behind the grandmother and I said, can I talk to you a minute? And she looked at me and I go, I hope she thinks I'm not hitting on her, you know. You know, and so I said, just a minute, and I walked away. I said, if she accepts it, great. And she followed me. And so I said, I saw what was going on. I am so sorry. And she started crying, and I said, I just want you to know, just give me your first name. I will pray for you daily. You are an angel. God has sent you. I am on my way to Israel. I don't know what I'm going to do with my mother, but I can do it now. And so just being able to minister and take chances, right, and move into these opportunities is just an incredible way to make a difference. Gabriel, my son who was here, may have mentioned my boys, both Gabriel and Eric, believe in worship. They believe in cross-cultural ministry. So they started these events called Vive. And we have had hundreds of young people come forward to give their lives to go to the mission field. Those of you know is Eric as well. There's Eric and Gabe together. They've just done an incredible job reaching out to literally thousands of people. Something got messed up, but that's all right. So in the last, right before COVID, we sent four teams into Morocco, into Thailand to work with sex trafficking, into Iraq, and into Sierra Leone. These were all Chileans. And so the opportunity and what I believe is important, it was so encouraging to hear that 13% of the budget goes to missions, is there are two kinds of resources in the world, money and people. The United States has a lot more money than other countries, but we have some resources like 100 kids that would love to partner with churches to be able to go to the least resource people in the world. It is my prayer that I will be able to send 1,000 Latinos into the least reached people groups of the world. And I believe it for several reasons. First of all, Latinos are not considered oppressors. Unfortunately, United States and Europe in many countries are labeled as oppressors. So that wall is gone. Latinos have a different space. Have you ever seen North Americans? You know, they like their space. Latinos are here. My precious Muslim friends are, we hold hands, the men walking down the street, you know? And so for some North Americans, that's a challenge. And so we've been able to see how God is using Latinos to cross some of these cultural barriers. And so we're talking about partnership, and we're so thankful for the years of partnership in this church as well. So we've been in northern Iraq since 2003. We took a Chilean team in, Kathy and I, my daughter Heidi and my youngest son Anthony, and eight others, and we lived there for 7 years. I mean, 7 months. And so we have two centers in there where we teach all kinds of things. We teach art, we teach sewing, we teach music, we teach taekwondo, we teach ballet, and it's just been incredible. This summer, now we have two centers. We were able to have 1,000 children come through that center. So I am looking for teachers that are willing to go from June 15th to August 15th, 10 weeks. That's our summer vacation to spend the best time in your life in northern Iraq. It's with the Kurds. I truly believe it's safer than most cities in the United States. So please consider that. That's the first challenge. As I said, we teach sewing. That she's learning how to make a pattern. We work with refugees. We've been 7 years working with our refugees in the camps. I just came out of those camps. We took a medical team in. We took in 10 medicals from Living Word in York, Pennsylvania. It's their second trip this year. 5 days, we saw 900 refugees. It was just an amazing thing. So I talked to Pastor Phil. I said, can I invite doctors and nurses? He goes, do it. So I would love to talk to you after the service as well. I would love to see a team from here go over to their in the refugee camp. Financing from the outside has ended. They handed us the keys to the clinic. Please help us. So it's a beautiful, brand new, small little clinic, and we're in charge of it. So please consider that as well. When I was there, I was offered to do a marriage seminar, and I was given 1 day to prepare. And so I did 5 love languages, and that was easy to put together. So there were 25 Muslims there, and they loved it. I went back, there were 50 Muslims there, and they just had the most incredible questions. They rented a hall. There were 300 Muslims there learning the 5 love languages. I was then at a university with 600 students that wanted to know how a marriage should be. I then ended up on television in Kurdistan, and so I am the famous 5 love language teachers of northern Iraq. And it's just been incredible, this experience. And so the word says, then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or your sisters, your relatives or the rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back and you will already be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, invite the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the opportunity that we have, precious people. Invite the uninvited in society to love those who had never been loved. Our worship service is a lot like yours in Chile. And so we have some of our charismatic friends that say to me, you guys don't have the Holy Spirit. And I go, Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And I go, you guys make a lot of noise. You haven't sent anyone a half a block. We have workers all over the world that are laying down their lives for the gospel. That is the definition of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to encourage you. This is a missional church. That means the power of the Holy Spirit is working in this church. May you raise up and equip more. And if you give me the opportunity, I'd love to pray for you, okay? Father God, I thank you so much for this precious church. I thank you so much for the testimonies that took place today. Just from Kentucky, what's going to be happening in other parts of the world as well, this precious opportunity of training nationals that will then train nationals. This is what your kingdom is about. And I just pray that you'll continue to open the windows of heaven upon this precious church, and may they be a blessing that continues to bring blessing for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jack.